It's really an honor to be able to introduce to you our guest pastor today, Steve Cable. And how Steve got connected with faith is he and his wife, Nopaluk Cable, met Pastor Larry Zimon and our founding pastor, Greg Heinch, when they together attended seminary many years ago. And he actually has been our long-term missionary in Bangkok, Thailand for 28 years, serving there. Last summer, I met Steve in Bangkok when I took my own daughter, Kaya Faya, to spend the summer there teaching English at the Sandy Sook Center, along with our own Caitlin Peterson from Faith Community. And I turned to Steve at one point, and I asked him, Steve, how can Faith Community partner with you again in the future? And he said, well, you know, I may be wanting to send some Thai leaders over there for an experience to refine their leadership skills. And so I said, well, do that, and then let me have them be a part of the Vacation Bible School team. And that dream became a reality this last week. He had a team of six Thai leaders join our VBS team, and we came to know them and love them. They've been hosted by faith community families, and they gave us testimonials of faith. They showed us Thai cultural dances and things like that. And really, it's become an absolutely beautiful partnership. I actually challenged the children to bring in offerings over 4 days of VBS. We wanted to bring in $2,000 to help open one of those new English centers, part of the Bangkok 15 and 25. Now listen to this. The kids brought in $8,590.46. What you need to know is that Bangkok, Thailand is a city of 15 million people, and they're all Buddhists. There's less than 1% Christians. And so there's so much kingdom advancement work to be done there. It's just amazing. Now, last night, Larry, Pastor Larry, he was supposed to be doing these announcements this morning. Sorry, I've got no beard, but as Steve mentioned, I do have hair. He texted me last night. He unexpectedly had to go to a funeral for an extended family member down in Texas, and he wanted me to share these words with you. He said, a short-term mission trip to Sandy Sook English School in Bangkok is the most affordable, easy-to-do, impactful trip that I'm aware of. I highly recommend our people take advantage of this opportunity. A solid high school sophomore could succeed with the training you receive. And, you know, Larry would know because his own son Zach, lived there for most of a year, I believe, and served as a part of that Sandy Sook school. I'm going to mention one more thing. This ministry does not so much want our money as they want us to come and teach. The Thai people want Americans to come and teach English more than they want to go attend classes that are taught by Thai leaders. So he's really looking for short-term and long-term missionaries to go and serve there. He split his team this morning. His wife, Nopaluk, is up in our Somerset church, and so is some of the team. But if you've got questions about the possibility of serving, just after the service, they'll be at the ministry booth with information. And certainly, at some point, talk to Pastor Larry, because he's responsible for all of our international missions. So that's enough of the commercial. Let's give a warm Wisconsin welcome to Pastor Steve Cable as he opens the word with us this morning.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you so much. Thanks. Well, it is an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning and to bring you greetings from Bangkok, Thailand, and our church that is meeting there. This church has partnered with us, as Bridget mentioned, for over 28 years. And so you can rightfully feel that the ministry and the things that are happening in Bangkok are part of your ministry, that is work that we are doing together there. And so I want to just, on behalf of our church and people, say thank you. Not only for supporting us personally, our family, these past 28-plus years, but also I want to say thank you for sending people to be with us. I would guess somewhere between 15 and 20 people from this church have come to Sandy Sook over the past 20 years or so and been short-term missionaries anywhere from 1 month to as long as Zach was there. He was there, I believe, about a year. And so thank you for that partnership and the relationship that we have with you in the ministry that is going on in Bangkok. I also want to say a special thank you to, I don't know how many of the hosts for our team are here today, but I want to say thank you to the hosts especially and for the investment that you've made in our team. This is the end of our 7 weeks of the Thai team being here in the United States. They will fly back to Bangkok on Tuesday. My wife and I will be here until September 18, and then we will be flying back to Bangkok also for the next 3 years or so of ministry. So thank you for the opportunity to be part of this church and ministry for this past week, but also for these past 28 years. I'd invite you to open your Bibles if you have them, or to use your pew Bible in the rack in front of you. And I'm going to be speaking today from Acts chapter 9, and you can follow along as I'll be reading from Acts chapter 9 and beginning in verse 1. While you're looking for that passage, let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on this time as we consider his word together. Father, we pray that we would not hear the words of any person, that we would not allow any distractions or the things that have been going on this morning or this past week to keep us from hearing your word and what you want to say to us at this time. Open our hearts so that we could hear what you would be saying to us. And we just pray that this would be a very sacred and holy time, that we could hear what you want us to hear and do and respond. And we commit this time to you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On May 22, 2014, there was a military coup that ended the democratically elected government in Thailand. Martial law was established at that time, and to this day, even to right now, we are still under a military government in Thailand. Hopefully, elections will be held next year. We'll have to see. It's been promised for many months and years, and we'll see if it'll happen next year. But soon after the general seized power, a number of the formerly democratically elected government were taken and put into little camps, let's say. And the Bangkok Post, the newspaper in Bangkok, termed these times of changing the minds of these former democratically elected government leaders who were speaking out against this military coup. They called it an attitude adjustment. And I thought that was an interesting way to term that, because it makes it sound like they were looking for just a slight little change and maybe just turn them a little bit from being where they were to make a slight little change. Absolutely not. The military government wanted a complete, as we would say, not a 360 degree, that would be right back where they were, but a 180 degree change from being opposed to this military coup in the government to being fully supportive of it. They were looking for a major change in their thinking, a complete attitude adjustment. And I think sometimes when we think of an attitude adjustment, we think, well, the car's not running right, you know, we just need an adjustment in the carburetor, or the TV's not working quite right, so we just need a little adjustment to make it work right. No, this was a major change. They wanted radical change in thinking. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 25, we see a couple of people here who need some major attitude adjustments. And I'd like to take a look at both of them and see where they might apply to us in where we are. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, and then again in verses 17 to 25, it tells the story of Saul, who needed to make the biggest, most radical adjustment that any person could ever make. He changed from being a person opposed to the gospel to being one of the greatest apologists and writers and thinkers and evangelists that the world has ever seen. And then in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, it tells the story of another person's attitude adjustment, a man by the name of Ananias, who also needed to have an attitude adjustment. He needed to have a change in his thinking. He was a person committed to God, but he needed to learn about some obedience and following God more fully to be a blessing to this person, Saul. So let's begin by reading in Acts chapter 9, and I would like to just read a couple of verses to begin with in Acts chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. If you know the story of Saul, when I ask you this question, you will know immediately what I'm getting at. Can you imagine someone more opposed to the gospel, more opposed to God, more opposed to Jesus, more opposed to following God and salvation than Saul at this point? Can you imagine someone at this place who was ready to yield his life and follow Jesus Christ? Look at what these words are saying here. Saul is breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. It says he was breathing this every breath. All he could do was think about killing those who followed Jesus Christ. He was eager to do this. And he didn't just want to kill the Christians. He was excited about doing it. He was very happy to do that. And he was enlisting other people to do it. So he asked for permission from the high priest, so that when he went there, he went with the full permission of the people who were in authority, as well as the authority to carry out the plans that he wanted to do, to capture those Christians, take them captive to Jerusalem, and ultimately put them to death. So he had permission, he had the authority to arrest and to chain and displace these people and take them back to Jerusalem. And ultimately, he wanted to kill any who followed Jesus Christ. This is a very, very brutal man, a man who is very, very much opposed to Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you this. If we could somehow get into this story ourselves and appear right there at that moment in front of Saul and ask him, Saul, is what you are doing right now, is this something that is good? Are you being a good person by doing what you're doing? Are you a sinner, Saul? How do you think he would have answered that question? I think it's clear. If you had asked him, are you opposed to God? He would have said, absolutely not. I'm following God fully. Are you a sinner? No way, he would say. No way I'm a sinner. I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. Are you opposed to God, Saul? No, absolutely not. I'm doing what God wants me to do. He would have said, I'm following God perfectly. Not only am I following God perfectly, I'm asking for the proper permission. I've dotted all the I's, I've crossed all the T's. Everything is being done exactly the way it's supposed to be. So here's a big problem. Saul thought he was serving God. He thought he was right. He thought he was a good person. But he was not. He was working against God. He was very wrong. He was a very evil person. And Saul not only wanted to kill Christians, but he had already at least assisted in the killing of Stephen. We can read that earlier in the book of Acts. Likely other people. He was part of putting other people to death. And so his life and example is powerful for us. It's a powerful warning for us. And we need to ask ourselves, is the purpose of Scripture, to shine light on our lives and to open up to us what it is we are and what it is that we are thinking, what we're committed to doing, what we're sold out to, what we really are wanting to do. We need to ask ourselves, are we like Saul? Is there anyone here this morning who is like Saul? Who is in need of a major attitude adjustment? We think we're a good person. We think we're doing the things that are right. We think we are an excellent member of community and society. But we're really far from God. We have no idea really what God wants us to be doing. For some people, thought of what God would have us to do is not even something we even think about. For some people, there's no thought that they have ever submitted anything that they think or plan to God's leading in their lives. And perhaps that's where you might find yourself today. Let's look and continue on here in Acts chapter 9. We're going to read verses 3 through 9. Now as he went on his way, this is Saul. He approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing this voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. I believe this is the reaction of a number of people today. Their big plans, their ideas, their power, the good things they thought they were doing really are all opposed to God. They're not really serving God. They're in need of a major attitude adjustment. Saul here has just entered God's 3-day attitude adjustment camp. Now we leave this story for a moment, and we're going to pick up the story of our second person. He also needs an attitude adjustment. Ananias isn't opposed to God. He isn't against God. He desperately wants to serve God and is serving God. But he too needs an attitude adjustment. Let's see what happens with Ananias as we look in verses 10 through 17. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Ananias is a very godly man, not just in words, but we can see from his life also. The Lord spoke to him, and he heard. He immediately responds, "Yes, Lord, I will obey and do what you want." He clearly has many friends who are believers, and he truly cares about them. He doesn't want to put them in any way that they could be harmed by this man named Saul. And although he doesn't want to do something, because God asks him, he does it, and he does it quickly. He does it exactly in the time that God determines. But we can also see from this story that Ananias was a man in need of an attitude adjustment. He needed to have his thinking adjusted. For Christians, it's not just the wicked Sauls of this world, but it's also for committed followers of Jesus Christ. We too need to regularly and daily even allow God to make adjustments to our thinking, to teach us new things. These aren't new to God, but new to us. It's God's perspective on our situation, God's perspective on people, God's perspective on a situation, God's perspective on our business, God's perspective on our culture, on government, on taxes, even God's perspective on the St. Croix River Fest, God's perspective on those who love sports, on our competitions, on our leisure, God's perspective on our vacations, on everything we do, God's perspective on investment, our homes, retirement, cars, even when we wake up and when we go to sleep. Just because we are believers doesn't mean we don't need to change anything. We are now in a unique position, having a relationship with the God of this universe, to benefit from all of the things and wisdom that God wants to give to us, if we will allow him to change our attitude and perspective on things. That's exactly what Ananias had to do on this particular day. And God used him to be a major blessing to the person who became probably the world's greatest evangelist. This kind of an attitude adjustment was probably something that many of our hosts here in Hudson that took our team members had to make a few months ago when they were approached and said, would you host somebody from Thailand that you've never met before? And the hosts, I don't think even knew that they were all leaders in the church and they were all committed Christians, but they had to be willing to open their homes and say, yeah, we'll take somebody in that we've never met before. We don't even know. We don't even know this Steve Cable guy. Who is that? And now we're going to take somebody into our home. We all need to adjust our thinking. In verses 17 through 25, we pick up the rest of our story. And so let me finish it. Actually, I've read verse 17 already, so I'm just going to read from verses 18 through 25. Immediately, something like scales fell from his or Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. See the major change that's taken place already in his life. Immediately, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. And when many days passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. You see, the man who was out to kill Christians eventually became the man that those who were non-believers wanted to kill. It's an amazing change. Here's the thing. In terms of the person named Saul, there is no one here in this room who could ever say, God cannot save me. There is no one here who could say, I am such a terrible, horrible sinner that there is no hope for me. No one could say that, because we've seen that a person who is part of murdering Christians, that person's life could be changed. There is no one here whose sin is so great that God cannot forgive them. God can and will and does forgive people, even those who kill other people. God forgave Saul. God will forgive you as well. In summary, I just want to mention a few things here, and it's not just a quick summary, but I want to mention a few things as I finish this. The radical conversion of Saul from being a persecutor of Christians and wanting to kill them to becoming a Christian himself was a major transformation, a major attitude adjustment. Saul thought he was following God. He thought he was obeying God by killing those who followed Jesus. But he needed a major attitude adjustment. And I believe there are people here this morning who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you're a very good person. I'm sure you're a very good person, but you have never said, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today is the day that you need to make a decision to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no one else who can save you from your sin that you have committed. There is no one who can do that. But radical changes should also be taking place in the lives of believers as well. Ananias was a true follower of God, yet he too needed a new perspective on this man that God was putting into his life. He needed a new perspective on Saul. He needed a new perspective on what God wanted to do with him. He needed to think of Saul as he was to become rather than as he was. He needed to think of Saul as God thought of him, not as he thought of him at that moment. Something Ananias thought was right was not even right. Let me share with you a few of the attitude adjustments that I've had to make in my life as a believer. There was a time when missions wasn't even something I wanted to do. When I thought it was unnecessary to be a missionary, I didn't want to go. Wasn't even thinking about going. But God worked in my heart and changed my attitude from being opposed to open and then finally to being fully committed to go as a missionary. When I arrived in 1990 as a career missionary, then I was opposed to teaching English as a way of sharing the gospel because I didn't want Thai people to think they had to become Westerners or they had to become English speakers in order to become believers. I didn't want to have them make that connection. But God showed me over a series of events that was taking place how we could put together the teaching of English and meeting the need of Thai people and using that as an open door for sharing the gospel and ministering to people. Now, we do have to be very careful that we separate out the teaching of English from the following of Jesus. Those are not connected in any way at all. You can speak Thai, you can speak Farsi, you can speak any language. But God can use even teaching English to win people to Jesus Christ. And I needed to learn that. I needed to learn some other things as well about using English teaching as a way of not only just winning people to Christ, but of starting churches and of doing a church planting movement. And these are some things that I've come to only over the last 3 or 4 years of starting a series of churches. As you saw in the video, the Bangkok 1525 vision was actually thought of 3 years ago when I was on home assignment here in the United States. It wasn't something that I even thought of. And God continues to adjust our thinking as we allow him to work in our hearts and to change our minds and to give us the thoughts that he has about what it is that he designed us for and what he has us doing. Some of us here perhaps need also an attitude adjustment about missions. You've maybe thought about the lost. You've maybe thought, well, that's true. There are people that are lost. But maybe you personally have never thought about, maybe God wants me to do something about that. And you need to experience what God has for you in missions. And I honestly can't think of a better way for you to get a taste of missions than to come and see what's happening in Bangkok and helping us at Suntisuk for even a month. You might say, well, that's a long time to be gone, or I have to leave my work for too long a time. You might be thinking, I could never teach English, and I don't even like English. By the way, I'm a math major. I wasn't an English major. I love math. And English was something new for me as well. But God might be speaking to you and say, you know, there's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of ways that I can use to win people to Christ, and even English, even something that you might think is a weakness. Just think about how your kids learn to speak English. They learned it because you were their teacher. That's exactly the same program that we use in Thailand. God will use you too. And you know, here's an interesting thing to think about as you go home today. Money doesn't need an attitude adjustment. People do. Money does not need an attitude adjustment. People need attitude adjustments. So major adjustment is needed both for non-believers as well as for believers. God has adjustments to make in our lives if we'll only allow him the opportunity to change us. And we must be willing to change and allow God to work in our lives. Remember, Saul thought he was doing God's will by killing Christians. He needed conversion and change. Ananias thought he was doing God's will, but he needed to learn that God had some better things for him to do as he went and visit with Saul. Allow God to show you what he would have you to do. Let's pray and ask God to guide us as we step out from this place on this day. Heavenly Father, help us to adjust our attitude. Help us to submit all that we have and all that we think and all that we do to your plan, to your will, to your way, that you would guide and direct us so that you would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. For any who is here this morning, I pray that they would say, yes, I want to follow Jesus starting today. I've thought all my life that I was a good person and I've done many good things, but I've never submitted myself to Jesus Christ. May this day be the day that decision is made. And for the rest of us, may we continually seek for God, guiding and directing us in every area of our lives. And may God call some from this place to Bangkok, to one of the most unreached people of the world. Father, we pray your blessing on us today. Guide and direct us, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.